Treatise 4 by St. Cyprian of Carthage on the Lord's Prayer. Argument. The Treatise of Cyprian on the Lord's Prayer comprises three portions, in which division he imitates Tertullian in his book on prayer. In the first portion, he points out that the Lord's Prayer is the most excellent of all prayers, profoundly spiritual and most effectual for obtaining our petitions. In the second part, he undertakes an explanation of the Lord's Prayer, and, still treading in the footsteps of Tertullian, he goes through its seven chief clauses. Finally, in the third part, he considers the conditions of prayer and tells us what prayer ought to be. The evangelical precepts, beloved brethren, are nothing else than divine teachings, foundations on which hope is to be built, supports to strengthen faith, nourishments for cheering the heart, rudders for guiding our way, guards for obtaining salvation, which, while they instruct the docile minds of believers on the earth, lead them to heavenly kingdoms. God, moreover, willed many things to be said and to be heard by means of the prophets, his servants. But how much greater are those which the Son speaks, which the Word of God, who is in the prophets, testifies with his own voice, not now bidding to prepare the way for his coming, but himself coming and opening and showing to us the way, so that we who have before been wandering in the darkness of death, without forethought and blind, being enlightened by the light of grace, might keep the way of life with the Lord for our ruler and guide. He, among the rest of his salutary admonitions and divine precepts, wherewith he counsels his people for their salvation, himself also gave a form of praying. Himself advised and instructed us what we should pray for. He who made us to live taught us also to pray, with that same benignity, to wit, wherewith he has condescended to give and confer all things else, in order that, while we speak to the Father, in that prayer and supplication which the Son has taught us, we may be the more easily heard. Already he has foretold that the hour was coming when the true worshippers should worship the Father in spirit and in truth. And he thus fulfilled what he before promised, so that we, who by his sanctification have received the Spirit and truth, may also, by his teaching, worship truly and spiritually. For what can be a more spiritual prayer than that which was given to us by Christ, by whom also the Holy Spirit was given to us? What praying to the Father can be more truthful than that which was delivered to us by the Son, who is the truth, out of his own mouth? So that to pray otherwise than he taught is not ignorance alone, but also sin, since he himself has established and said, "Ye reject the commandments of God, that ye may keep your own traditions." Let us therefore, brethren beloved, pray as God our teacher has taught us. It is a loving and friendly prayer to beseech God with his own word, to come up to his ears in the prayer of Christ. Let the Father acknowledge the words of his Son when we make our prayer, and let him also who dwells within in our breast himself dwell in our voice. And since we have him as an advocate with the Father for our sins, let us, when as sinners we petition on behalf of our sins, put forward the words of our advocate. For since he says that whatsoever we shall ask of the Father in his name, he will give us, how much more effectually do we obtain what we ask in Christ's name if we ask for it in his own prayer? But let our speech and petition when we pray be under discipline, observing quietness and modesty. Let us consider that we are standing in God's sight. We must please the divine eyes, both with the habit of body and with the measure of voice. For as it is characteristic of a shameless man to be noisy with his cries, on the other hand, it is fitting to the modest man to pray with moderated petitions. Moreover, in his teaching, the Lord has bidden us to pray in secret, in hidden and remote places, in our very bedchambers, which is best suited to faith, that we may know that God is everywhere present, and hears and sees all, and in the plenitude of his majesty penetrates even into hidden and secret places. As it is written, I am a God at hand, and not a God far off. If a man shall hide himself in secret places, shall I not then see him? Do not I fill heaven and earth? And again, the eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. And when we meet together with the brethren in one place, and celebrate divine sacrifices with God's priest, we ought to be mindful of modesty and discipline. Not to throw abroad our prayers indiscriminately, with unsubdued voices, nor to cast to God with tumultuous wordiness a petition that ought to be commended to God by modesty. For God is the hearer, not of the voice, but of the heart. Nor need he to be clamorously reminded, since he sees men's thoughts, as the Lord proves to us when he says, Why think ye evil in your hearts? And in another place, And all the churches shall know that I am he that searcheth the hearts and minds. And this Hannah, in the first book of Kings, who was a type of the church, maintains and observes, in that she prayed to God not with clamorous petition, but silently and modestly, within the very recesses of her heart. She spoke with hidden prayer, but with manifest faith. She spoke not with her voice, but with her heart, because she knew that thus God hears, and she effectually obtained what she sought, because she asked it with belief. Divine Scripture asserts this when it says, She spoke in her heart, and her lips moved, and her voice was not heard, and God did hear her. We read also in the Psalms, Speak in your hearts and in your beds, and be ye pierced. The Holy Spirit, moreover, suggests these same things by Jeremiah, and teaches, saying, But in the heart ought God to be adored by thee. And let not the worshipper, beloved brethren, be ignorant in what manner the publican prayed with the Pharisee in the temple. Not with eyes lifted up boldly to heaven, nor with hands proudly raised, but beating his breast and testifying to the sins shut up within, he implored the help of the divine mercy. And while the Pharisee was pleased with himself, this man who thus asked rather deserved to be sanctified, since he placed the hope of salvation not in the confidence of his innocence, because there is none who is innocent, but confessing his sinfulness, he humbly prayed, and he who pardons the humble heard the petitioner. And these things the Lord records in his gospel, saying, Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, unjust, extortioners, adulterers, even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But the publican stood far off, and would not so much as lift up his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I say unto you, this man went down to his house justified, rather than the Pharisee. For everyone who exalteth himself shall be abased, and whosoever humbleth himself shall be exalted. End of part 1.